One of these days I should clean the dust off of that, you think? Or if we take the dust off, will it stop working? Oh yeah, it's pretty gross. I'll put that on the list. So the pile of things I have to talk about on this show is getting organized. I've been up since 5:30 this morning. It's 8:45 now. I have been up going through the pile, making notes, highlighting things, scribbling notes in the margins, getting stuff ready, throwing away shit I'm not going to talk about or stuff that was just fluff material. You can scream and shout with all your might. And you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a fucking safe space. You can, in fact, shove your opinion right up your ass so that Obama's cock has something to keep it company. And don't forget, the ever-present and most likely the third possibility, the one you know is true, you are wrong and I am right. I'm always right. I've always been right. I will always be right. And I do this by simply never being wrong. I am the great one himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society on the internet since 1999, podcasting for 11 years. This is Stating the Obvious Podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect that has a stability-seeking warhead. That cruise missile homes in on and destroys statists, wherever they may be, whether they're close, whether they're far, doesn't matter where you are. On the planet Earth, even if you are up in the International Space Station, it's the International Space. Now, I'm pretty sure the American taxpayers paid for most of that, but oh, we gotta be politically correct. Greetings, my friend. Today is Black Victimhood Day. Today is the 18th of January, 2016, Martin Luther King Day. It's the day that we celebrate the man who had sex with lots of women, which I'm not criticizing him at all. I mean, I wasn't there, but I've read the stuff about Martin Luther King, how he would have sex with multiple women at the same time. And again, there's no criticism here. Dude, you're boning multiple chicks at once. Let me put my coffee cup down so I can do this. Yes. Yes. And of course, we also know that MLK plagiarized while he was in college. Again, let me say, yes, because your college degree didn't fucking, yeah, did, like he couldn't have done what he did if he didn't have a fucking college. His college degree made no fucking difference to his achievements. He did what he did because he wanted to do it. It wasn't like, hey, I have a college degree, and they're like, oh yeah, so we'll let you, you know, whatever, we'll let you give a speech. No, he did what he did despite the college degree. Remember, D is for diploma. And plagiarism works. As long as you don't get caught, who gives a shit? Because the shit you write, the stuff you do in college, despite the things that the old people are telling you, don't make any fucking difference. Anyhow, today is the day that we are reminded about how racist white people are and how black people are still oppressed. And all of this has to happen, of course, because if black people weren't victims, then, well, they'd have to get off welfare and get off the food stamps and go get a fucking job. And of course, either people are going to say to me, well, that's racist. See, you're a racist. And that's the point. Anything you say about black people is, of course, going to be racist. For example, what I'm about to say now is racist. Has anyone ever considered that if evil white people hadn't bought these black people's ancestors from other black people over in Africa and brought them back to America, I mean, they wouldn't be able to get welfare and food stamps and Obama phones and all this other stuff. You should be thanking us, because without evil white people who purchased your ancestors from other black people, I know those of you who are stupid think that white men sailed across the ocean and tromped into the heart of Africa and captured black people and brought them back for slaves. And while I'm sure that happened occasionally, remember, most of the black slaves brought to the United States, well, there's no remember because you never learned this, most of the black slaves brought to the United States were purchased by white people from other black people. But of course, we, as a society, pretend that didn't happen because we all know that slavery has never existed anywhere on the planet Earth except in North America, and only slavery has only been perpetrated by white men on black people. There's never been slavery in any other culture in the United States. I mean, in the United States, there's never been slavery in any other culture on the planet Earth throughout the entire history. Well, then, of course, except for the Jews when they were enslaved in Egypt. Now, of course, that slavery happened because, of course, Hitler. And if you, you know, deny that, then you're anti-Semitic and you hate Jews. So Jews get to play the victim card on the slavery thing also. Anyhow, today is Blacks Are Victims Day. I have a couple of random thoughts to throw out before I get to anything, and I don't know why all of a sudden I'm getting nasally here. I took my decongestant. What the fuck? Oh, hi. Thanks, Randy. In the control room over there is the lovely and adorable Randy. You can find us on the internet at cynlibsoc.com, and you can send email to God, that's dog spelled backwards, God at cynlibsoc.com. I already did the date. See, that was all the important administrative stuff. All right. I have been up since 5:30, which is good, because I have gotten a lot done. All right, and now my brain is starting to hurt. What was the other thing. So I'm reading through all this material this morning, so I have a whole bunch of different little tidbits in my brain. The whole black victimhood, and if we hadn't brought you over here, and of course it was we, because I personally, as a white man, I am responsible for the enslavement of black people 200 years ago. Even though I wasn't alive, this is of course my fault, because, well, I'm white, and as a white man, I have agency, and I am responsible for everything that happens in the universe. This is, of course, how I can oppress women, and oppress black people, and oppress Latinas, and oppress the trannies, and oppress the homosexuals, and everything else, right? It's because, as a white man, I have the power to control everything that happens in the world. This, of course, is known as being a god. And that's why the email address is god@cynlibsoc.com, where you can send your hate mail and call me a racist and tell me that I'm a nobody and a nothing, while at the same time asserting that I am oppressing you, which, of course, for me to oppress you, which I am oppressing you, you cannot deny that I am oppressing you. For me to oppress you, I have to have more power than you do, because if I didn't have more power than you have, it would be impossible for me to oppress you. But then again, logic isn't one of your strong suits, is it? Because, well, you're a fucking statist and you're a victim. Okay, here's another thing that's floating around in my head after reading all the stupidity this morning doing my research. I'm not going to put this in any kind of context. I just want to throw this out. Abortion. Again, I want to emphasize, I am 100% in favor of abortion. Not only am I in favor of abortion, I want more abortions. And among the reasons, which I've talked about in the past and we'll talk about in the future, let's say you have two different species. We will call them, just for convenience, we'll call them elephants and giraffes. So let's say that when elephants have children, well, let's say when elephants have sex and get impregnated, elephants give birth to their children and raise their children. The other species, the giraffes, when they get impregnated, they abort their children and don't have any children. Now, which of those two species is going to survive? Well, the elephants are going to survive because they're reproducing. The giraffes are going to die off because they're not reproducing. See, that's called, say it with me, natural selection. A species that does not successfully reproduce is a species that dies off. So we have human females, mostly left-wing, mostly statist, who are aborting their children, not reproducing. This is not a bad thing, because as I've explained before to what I'm currently referring to as the anarcho-faggots, not faggot in any homosexual sense. The anarcho-faggots are the people like Ben Stone who say stupid things such as, when there's a market demand for freedom, we will have freedom. Which, of course, there will never be a market demand for freedom because the statist, which are a different species from the anarcho-capitalist, are currently outbreeding us. The only chance anarcho-capitalism has to assert itself and create an anarcho-capitalist society is for the anarcho-capitalist to outnumber the statist. The only way that's going to happen is if the number of statists is reduced, and this can happen through economic collapse, it could happen through plague and disease and famine and disaster, it could happen through war, or it could happen simply by them aborting themselves out of existence. Whatever it takes to reduce the number of statists on the planet Earth, I don't want to say it's a good thing, but I'm going to say it's a good thing. Because that would mean, of course, that, you know, plague and famine and stuff like that, in my assertion, would be a good thing if it reduced the number of statists. And in a sense, plague and famine, war, economic collapse, that sort of stuff, is not a good thing. But if it reduces the number of statists, it's a good thing. I was going to say something else, and then it flittered out of my mind. My little brain just went poof. Randy, what was I going to say about abortion? Oh, yes, thank you. See, that's why I pay you the big bucks. That and your cute butt. All right, I actually don't pay her. Well, she's paid with my personality. She gets to hang out with me, lucky girl. I already forgot which. Yes, thank you. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is my brain. And I'm not even on drugs. No alcohol. I'm drinking coffee. I had tea this morning for breakfast, and now I'm drinking my coffee. And I did not booze yesterday at all. Resisted the urge. I needed, because what's today? Monday. Saturday, I didn't get like rip-roaring drunk or any shit like that, but Saturday I drank a little bit more beer than I normally drink, coupled with not drinking as much water as I normally drink, coupled with only eating two meals that day. And the result was that on Sunday, I didn't have like a terrible hangover, but I had what for me is a hangover, because I never have hangovers because I eat food and I drink water and I consume alcohol in moderation. So I had what qualified as a hangover for me, which meant that I spent the first hour and a half in the morning moping around, walking in a circle, too stupid to get my shit together, and then I lifted weights and drank some water and everything was mostly good. Anyhow, because of that, I said, all right, I'm going to just not drink any booze today so that I can fucking reestablish my equilibrium. So that's part of why, too, I'm just very, very jazzed this morning, I think, because I didn't have any booze yesterday. Anyway, it has nothing to do with abortion. What does have to do with abortion is this. When people are making the arguments for abortion, again, I just made my argument for abortion, is that I want to reduce the number of statists. And of course, any animals that kill their own offspring are animals that should not be reproducing. Again, with the elephants and the giraffes. Hold on a second. Seriously, this... Randy, I'm going out in the hall for a minute. Yes, I'm back. Did you hear me blowing my nose out in the hallway? That's a little bit better. So, preparations before you podcast. Number one, do vocal warm-ups. Number two, blow your fucking nose. Number three, make sure your water bottle and your coffee pot are full. I did number three. I didn't do one and two. Okay. So, yeah, animals that kill their own offspring should not be reproducing. That's called natural selection. Again, for those of you in the retarded section, or if you're new to the podcast, I'm a big fan of natural selection. Big, big fan of natural selection. And that's why I want to get rid of the government, because the government, of course, circumvents natural selection by keeping the most inferior people alive. The people who should be doing the least amount of reproducing are the ones who are paid by the government via welfare, wealth redistribution, WIC, food stamps, all this other shit. They are paid by the government, taking money away from people who are intelligent and successful, giving it to the inferior people so they can keep spitting out more inferior people. Because, of course, you cannot have a democracy if you have an educated and competent population. Because an educated and competent population doesn't need a government to provide for them. Therefore, they would never vote for a government. A democracy requires a space of citizens who are afraid, who are incompetent, who are fearful, who are of low intelligence. What does that have to do with abortion? So one of the arguments in favor of abortion, used by less intelligent people than me who don't understand natural selection, is of course the argument that the unborn fetus, the unviable tissue mass, the unborn baby, whatever you want to call it, is a parasite that cannot survive on its own. Okay, and that's true, and I just want to take a moment to remind you that there are some other things that are parasites and cannot survive on their own. Newborn children are parasites. Two-year-old children are parasites. Old people in retirement homes are parasites. Handicapped children are parasites. Politicians and lawyers are parasites. And of course, welfare recipients, both the poor black kind in the ghetto and the corporate white CEO who have been bailed out by the fucking government kind of welfare recipients, are both parasites. And, you know, I don't say that in jest. You show me the black single ghetto mother with five children by four different baby daddies who gets food stamps and welfare, and you show me Bank of America. I see no distinction between the two. None. There's no fucking distinction. Welfare recipient? Welfare recipient. Would not survive without wealth redistribution? Would not survive without wealth redistribution. Protected from natural selection by the government? Protected from natural selection by the government. Same fucking thing. A welfare recipient is a fucking welfare recipient, is a fucking welfare recipient, is a fucking welfare recipient, is a parasite. Let me do these. And this is in the works. This is actually, it's getting longer, much like my cock. It's getting longer the more I work on it. CLSology. One of these days it's going to happen. I've added a new section to CLSology. All right, Randy, we're going to see. This is going to be great. We're going to see if I can fucking type and talk at the same time. What do you think about that? Abortion, parasite, natural. Oh my God. That was me attempting to use a keyboard and talk at the same time. You'll notice I wasn't talking because I can't do two things at once. Because as I've said before, as other people said, human beings cannot multitask. I don't give a fuck that you think you can multitask. There's no such thing as multitasking humans. And if you believe that, you're probably stupid. What was I talking? Oh, I have my notes right in front of me. What was I talking about? I don't know. Look at your notes, dumbass. I have a question for the feminist. You go, girl. You can do anything. I just thought of another one. But I don't have to write this down. Oh, my God. No. All right. Like, and much. Yep. As a man. Okay, so on one hand, the feminists tell us, you go, girl, you can do anything. Yet at the same time, women are oppressed, the patriarchy is holding them down, women are constantly getting raped, women can't stop themselves from getting raped, women can't get jobs, women can't make as much money as men, women, blah, there's all these limitations on women and what they can achieve, which are all, of course, controlled by the patriarchy, by white men such as myself. I am at this moment right now. Oh, wait, hold on. Seriously, there's a white woman at a company, and she just applied for a promotion in the company. Excuse me, I need to veto that. Let me get my stamp out, and there we go. Let me send that back to the master patriarchy at patriarchy.com. There we go. Okay. I just had to prevent this woman from getting a promotion, because that's what we do in the patriarchy. We get, that's actually why I've been up since 5:30. I've been oppressing women. There are also a couple of women who wanted a pay raise, and I took the money that we were going to give to them, if we could have theoretically given to them, and I gave it to white men instead. So anyhow, you go, girl. You can do it. You can do anything. But you're oppressed by the patriarchy because every man alive wants to rape you, and you only make 77 cents for every dollar. So which is it? Can women go, girl, and do anything they want? Or are they oppressed? Just something to think about. Speaking of thinking of things, we have Chapin's Inferno. It's a wandering cauldron of political commentary. It's Bernard Chapin. He's on YouTube. This is my poor attempt at a Bernard Chapin impersonation. And Chapin's one of these guys. It's like, I agree with him about many things, and I disagree with him about many things. And, you know, and again, there's nothing, as I've said before, two people can't fucking agree on everything. And if you expect somebody to agree with you on everything, then if you expect other people to be in agreement with you on everything, that means you're a member of the GLBTKKK, which will be discussed much more in the future. So anyhow, Chapin, I watched a couple episodes of Chapin's Inferno lately. I pick and choose which ones I watch based on the titles, because I just don't have time to watch all of them. And he pisses me off too much. So anyhow, wishful drinking and wishful voting. You may remember, because I think I talked about this on the cast. Many, many moons ago, I got the audiobook of Carrie Fisher's, and we had a lot of Star Wars. Okay, so I rewatched for the first time in many, many years, Empire Strikes Back. And I want to talk about that because I got some Yoda quotes. We all know the do, do not, there is no try. But there's some other things Yoda says that are just fucking brilliant. And I am not going to bullshit you guys. And I don't know why. I know why. It was just an emotional response, but I'm not making this shit up. When they're doing the whole thing on Dagobah and Luke's training with Yoda and Yoda's like laying out the wisdom, I had tears in my eyes. Tears. Just from being emotionally overwhelmed by Yoda, by this fucking puppet in a movie, which goes to illustrate, because also if I get to it today, if I stop babbling, I want to talk about the book, How Star Wars Conquered the Universe by Chris Taylor, which I've been reading. Again, quickly, it's a brilliant, great book if you have any interest in Star Wars at all. You don't have to be the hardcore fucking dressing like Chewbacca shit. This is a really good book about Star Wars. And Star Wars has become such a cultural myth, and that's how powerful it is, that this little fucking green puppet can make a racist, sexist, homophobic, anarcho-capitalist asshole who believes in natural selection and wants more inferior women to abort their children. I mean, this shit brought tears to my eyes. So anyhow, back to Chapin's Inferno. Wandering cauldron of political commentary. Alright, so anyway, I got the audiobook. Oh, one day I'm going to stay up. I'm like a fucking squirrel on crack. Many moons ago, I got the audiobook Wishful Drinking by Carrie Fisher from the library, and I sat down to listen to it, and I think I may have made it through 20 to 30 minutes of the first disc, and I gave up because it was so fucking terrible. So Chapin actually read the entire book. So it's like, okay, dude, the fact that you were able to endure that book, I mean, I don't know if that means you're a bigger man than I am or if it means you have too much free time. But it's like, dude, I have a fucking limited amount of time to live. And this book is fucking terrible. I don't know if Carrie Fisher thinks she's a writer or if she hired a ghostwriter off Fiverr.com or what. But the woman, she can't write, and she's fucking insane. Anyhow, Chapin did he read the entire book, and then he read the part of it where Carrie Fisher has somebody die in her bed, and it's just like, my God, this woman is nuts. Anyhow, Chapin also goes off, and this is why I can't listen to Chapin, because it's kind of like listening to Rush Limbaugh, which I should do. I thought about that earlier this morning. I should listen to Rush Limbaugh sometime in the near future. I haven't listened to Rush Limbaugh in well over a year. The last time I listened to Rush Limbaugh's show, it's when I, because the point of me listening to it is to come on this podcast and make fun of him. Because, and let me give credit where it's due, and let me also, if you're new to the podcast, let me tell you just very briefly, I used to be a left-wing liberal Democrat statist, and then I was a Republican right-wing statist, and then I was a right-wing minarchist statist, and then I was a minarchist statist, and then I became an anarcho-capitalist. There was a time in my life when I listened to Rush Limbaugh religiously. 5 days a week, 3 hours a day, I listened to Rush Limbaugh. And I like, and so some of my stylistic choices when doing this podcast were influenced by Rush Limbaugh because I have the ability to drop things on the floor while I'm podcasting, and because I have intelligence, unlike those of you who are statist, I can separate style from content. I now, of course, disagree with much of Rush Limbaugh's content. But back in the olden days, in his early days, he stylistically was someone to emulate. Much of what I do on the cast, I draw from my memories of listening to Rush Limbaugh, his style, his presentation, his way of doing his radio show. I haven't listened to him in over a year, but I think he's lost a lot of his edge. I think he's become much more, again, not even talking about the content, just his presentation. I think it's a lot more boring nowadays and uninteresting, which I suppose is to be expected. Maybe not. I don't know. Do all artists go downhill And you can say Rush Limbaugh's not an artist. Well, he's an artist in the sense of, again, presentation. He's an artist in that sense. I mean, do all artists decline over time? I don't know. Maybe so. It kind of seems that way, but I'm sure there's exceptions. Anyhow, the point is, Randy, is there a point to this? What the fuck was I doing? Oh, yeah. I should listen to Rush Limbaugh so I can make fun of him. The last time I listened to Limbaugh was when the woman called in and she said that she agreed that homosexual marriage shouldn't be legal, and she was a homosexual. And Limbaugh's like, yeah, good for you. And then she says, in fact, I don't think anybody should have to get permission from the government to get married. And Rush Limbaugh hung up the phone on her. Just like, yes! Anarcho-capitalist calling in to the fucking Limbaugh show. And of course, Rush couldn't fucking handle that, because of course you have to get permission from the government to get married. And see, this is how, despite what Bernard Chapin on Chapin's Inferno, because we're finally getting around to the point of this. See, Chapin, he's fucking just dedicated to the idea that there's a difference between Republicans and Democrats. And the Democrats are evil, but the Republicans are good. There's a difference. And there's not. The Republicans and the Democrats both believe that if you want to get married, you need permission from the government. Now, the Republicans think that homosexuals shouldn't be allowed to get that permission. The Democrats think homosexuals should be allowed to get that permission. But both of them think you need permission from the government to get married, because what you do with your body is the government's business. There's no fucking difference. So Bernard Chapin in Chapin's Inferno, it's a wandering cauldron of political and commentary. He said that he's really got a problem with you people who just don't understand. You just don't understand that there's a difference between Republicans and Democrats. See, Democrats are traitors. This is what he said. He said that Democrats are traitors. But you can't blame the Republicans for not stopping the Democrats from doing all the things that they're doing. Because, you see, it's not the Republicans that are initiating all of these evil things the Democrats do. It's the Democrats initiating them. And when you get mad at Republicans for not stopping the Democrats, well, that's not fair. That's not fair. And this is the most fucking pathetic argument ever. The idea that the Republicans, and yes, we're broad sweeping shit going on here, fucking deal with it. The idea that Republicans cannot be held accountable. Does this sound like do we start sounding like feminism already? Hi, I'm Bernard Chapin, and I'm a feminist. Republicans, they're all rich white men, but we can't hold them accountable. They're just like women. They don't have any agency. So these Republicans, who are mostly these Republican, let's be a little more specific, Republican politicians in the federal government, who are mostly rich white men, well, they can't be held accountable for not preventing Democrats from doing stupid shit. I mean, after all, they're just like women. They have no agency, right? The patriarchy is oppressing these poor little rich white man Republicans in the House of Representatives. Oh, they're so oppressed. They just can't stop the Democrats. The Democrats just do anything they want, and the poor little Republicans, oh, they're just all helpless. Oh, whoopee, boopee, boopee. They're, oh, wait. If they're that helpless, aren't they parasites? Can't we abort them? So Chapin's argument is you can't hold the Republicans accountable for not stopping the Democrats. Which makes me ask the question, and I've asked this same question before about Obama. If, you know, when I said, okay, so if Obama gets elected, he says he's going to close Guantanamo Bay, he doesn't close Guantanamo Bay, well then, why the fuck did you elect him if he can't do what he says he's going to do? Why then, Mr. Chapin, should people vote Republican if the Republicans can't stop the Democrats from fucking things up? I mean, what's the fucking point? This is what statism looks like. It's called stupidity. Well, you should vote Republican. Why? Because Republicans aren't Democrats. And okay, and can the Republicans stop the Democrats from fucking things up? Well, no, we can't hold them responsible for stopping the Democrats. They can't stop the Democrats. Then what the fuck is the point of electing them? You know, the analogy I made, so you want somebody to paint your kitchen, so you hire Stephen Hawking, brilliant guy. He's in a wheelchair, he has no use of his arms. He cannot pick up a paintbrush and paint your kitchen. It makes no sense to hire Stephen Hawking. Yes, I know he could outsource it, blah, blah, blah. But it makes no sense to hire Stephen Hawking to paint your kitchen. He's not physically capable of it. It's not his skill set, and it's not where he can offer the most value to the world. He of course offers the most value to the world by doing theoretical, would it be called physics, astrophysics, you know, whatever he does. That's how he offers value to the world, is by writing books about the cosmos and how black holes work and all this other stuff. He's not a fucking kitchen painter. So you come to me and you elect these fucking Republicans, and then you tell me the Republicans can't stop the Democrats from fucking things up. Well then, Chapin, what the fuck is the point of electing the Republicans? Other than you just need someone to worship and you need some cock to suck, because like every other fucking statist, you're terrified of not having someone there to tell you what to do. Next on my list here, I have some notes. I already forgot. What the fuck? Oh, yes. That was the first thing I talked about, Black Victim Day. I'm making notes so I can do show notes. Why is... Because there are these... What am I going to call them? There are these realms of existence. There are these schools of thought. There are these philosophical schools out there. There's the manosphere. There is the men going their own way. And there's the men's right movement. And I will argue that each of these three schools of philosophy coincide to some degree with the anarcho-capitalist sphere. And probably the manosphere and the men's right movement a little bit more than the men going their own way. Because the men going their own way recognize that things are fucked up. And their answer is to just drop out, you know, tune out, drug up, drop out, man. And to an extent, of course, as an anarcho-capitalist, I support the idea of dropping out, right? You should drop out of obeying the government. You should drop out of voting. You should drop out of paying taxes if possible. You know, in that sense, yes, you should drop out. You should drop out of participating in statism. But you should not drop out of important things such as engaging, for lack of a better word, with women. In case you're just wondering what men going their own way is, because you don't know this stuff, because you don't hang out on the internet, because you have a life and you're not a loser, the men going their own way movement is basically they've recognized that women have flaws, which of course feminism will tell you women are perfect, because women can you go girl and do anything they want, yet of course at the same time, women cannot do anything because the patriarchy is oppressing them. In fact, hang on just one second, I need to send this email and oppress this woman. What's this? Oh, there's a woman who put in a job application, and let me just do this, there we go. All right, there we go. I have refused her job application. So what we do here in the patriarchy, we oppress women. Now, some of you may be saying, but great one, today is Black Victimhood Day. Shouldn't you be oppressing black people? Well, now, see, we only oppress black people on the weekends. Patriarchy, the oppression of women, that's our full-time job. That's what we do Monday through Friday. We don't get holidays. There are no holidays from the patriarchy. Man, can I just imagine all the Tumblrinas hearing this and just shitting on themselves and screaming and crying for a safe zone? I need a safe space. He's so offensive. Yes. You go, girl. You can do anything you want, except emotionally deal with the fact that not everybody on the planet Earth has exactly the same opinion that you have. All right. So anyway, the men going their own way, they have recognized that women have flaws, which women do have flaws. I know that's news to you women out there, but you're not perfect. Only the patriarchy is perfect. For example, many of you out there could not recognize that that was humor. Some of you actually think I really mean that white men are perfect. I mean, we're not perfect. We're just the only ones who do anything. You know, that brought up too. Yes, let me just go completely off topic. A while back, I talked about the thing where somebody has proven that men are stupider than women because of the Darwin Awards and all this other shit. You know, and I talked about the fact that, yeah, this is because men are the only people who do things. I mean, yeah, men are, for whatever reason, driven to push boundaries. This is why, who is it that goes to Antarctica with dog sleds and tries to go to the South Pole? Men or women? Who is it that goes into space? I mean, now that it's all safe and everything, women like going up there. But in the early days, who went into space? Men. Who is it that tries to fucking sail around the world in a fucking wooden ship? Men. Right? It's men who do all of this sort of groundbreaking, pushing the limits sort of, you know, stuff. Women follow eventually once it becomes safe. But men do all the groundbreaking. And for many men who, you know, but aren't very smart, because again, and I'm not a feminist. I don't have, like, feminists want to pretend that every woman is so intelligent. No, there's a lot of really stupid women. I'm the first to acknowledge there's a whole lot of stupid men. And they still have this drive to push boundaries. It's just that if you're really dumb and you're kind of poor white trash and you're from Arkansas, you can't go to the South Pole with a dog sled, so instead you do things like try to shoot firecrackers out of your ass. And that's a substitute. So again, yeah, there are a lot of men who kill themselves doing stupid things, but that's just because men do stuff while women sit around and reap the rewards. What the fuck? Oh yeah, women have flaws. So anyhow, the MGTOW, men going their own way, have figured out women have flaws, and their answer is to stop associating with women because they're scared of girls. All right, not all of them. Some of the MGTOW are actually legit, and I'm okay with that. I'm stereotyping. See, I can make fun of white men too. I can make fun of white men just as well. In fact, honey, you may be a feminist, but I'm a man. I can insult men way better than you can because I am a man. So the men's right movement is, of course, trying to protect men in the... Randy, where the fuck am I on time? Am I going to get screwed here? Well, I'm going to get screwed all the time anyway. We knew that. But, okay, great, thanks. The men's right movement wants to protect the quote-unquote rights of men through legal action and through eliminating stupid laws. And in a state of society, there's a place for that, and I get that. And again, while, you know, their emphasis is obviously on rights, which don't really exist, so they're sort of fictitious in that sense, and they're trying to do things legally through governments. You know, on the one hand, okay, you know, it's like, oh, that's statist, gross. But they're trying to achieve something. They're trying to change existing society. And so I have a lot of respect for that. And we can use that approach. That's a good approach that could be practically useful. Again, we don't have to like being in a statist society, but we're in a fucking statist society. Now, the manosphere, which I think of as being typified by Roosh V and Captain Capitalism, Aaron Clary. they tend to be, their statist as well, they tend to be right-wingers, they're Republican. I mean, Bernard Chapin, I consider him part of the manosphere with his, man, the Republicans are awesome, I always suck Republican cock, like, oh my God, like, Democrats are traitors, but like, anytime there's a rich white man and he has a penis and he's a Republican, I totally get on my knees and I suck his Republican cock, but I would never hold him accountable for stopping the Democrats from doing anything stupid, because rich white men in the House of Representatives, they can't be held accountable. They're just completely powerless. They can't do anything. But I'm really happy to get their cocks in my mouth, and I'll swallow as much of their cum as I possibly can. The Manosphere emphasizes, is beginning to emphasize, and this is something Roosh has talked about lately, and it's a shift in his thinking, his direction, emphasizing self-improvement. Roosh has termed it masculine self-improvement. And I like this. I have lots of disagreements with the Manosphere. You know, I've made fun of Roosh for his article in which he said the government should decide what people should go to college for. I'm like, again, it's like, dude, do you have a fucking vagina? Could you be any more of a goddamn woman than wanting the government to decide what the fuck you should major in college so that you don't make a mistake and end up unemployed? I mean, could you be Mr. fucking Roosh, who has traveled around the world and fucked hundreds of women and written best-selling books, could you be any more of a fucking woman than to want the government to fucking tell you what to go to college for? Dude, get a goddamn vacuum cleaner and suck the sand and the fetus out of your goddamn vagina. So I have plenty of disagreements with Roosh, but his concept of masculine self-improvement, his concept of self-improvement, goes perfectly with anarcho-capitalism. Because here's the thing. In anarcho-capitalist paradise, there will be no safety nets, no welfare, no regulations, none of this shit. You will need to become a better person all the time. First of all, to survive. But second of all, becoming a better person means that you are constantly progressing, moving forward. It means you are doing things. And this is what men do. Why do men go to the South Pole on fucking dog sleds? Because they're constantly trying to push themselves, to improve, to become better. And when Roosh in the Manosphere talks about these are things you can do, that you should do, these are ways that you can become a better person, this meshes perfectly with anarcho-capitalism, because what is the mechanism of anarcho-capitalism? Natural selection. The inferior DNA gets weeded out. Which DNA is inferior? The inferior DNA is the DNA that does not seek to constantly improve. When you have the one person who sits at home watching motherfucking Netflix eating ice cream, you have the other person who goes to the gym, works out, spends their time teaching themselves a new skill. Which set of DNA is, in an anarcho-capitalist society where there's no welfare, no food stamps, no regulations, no quotas for hiring people, no protection against getting fired, no minimum wage, which set of DNA is going to survive and which set of DNA is going to go extinct? Okay, self-improvement is not just something that evil pickup artists should be interested in. Self-improvement, constant self-improvement, always striving, always pushing, always going for something new, is something anybody who is an anarcho-capitalist should be inspired to. This, I mean, it's this line of thinking which I have, I don't want to say that I'd never thought of self-improvement until I encountered the Manosphere, but the Manosphere has been very influential in my acceptance of the fact that self-improvement is pretty fucking important to survival. So, I mean, this is part of why I've gotten myself on a regular weight lifting routine now. And I'm looking at my notes. I was trying to do a nice transition. Couldn't come up with one. ANCAP Paradise. In ANCAP Paradise, not only... Well, see, I have this on the list. I'm not really sure how this fits in. What? Yeah? That's a good point. Randy points out it doesn't have to fit in because I'm like a squirrel on crack. Okay, here's something I want you to think about. ANCAP Paradise. In an anarcho-capitalist paradise, do you realize that most of the jobs dominated by women will not exist? Think about this for a second. So we've got anarcho-capitalist paradise. There's no government, there's no state, there's no corporations, because corporations don't really exist, they're just pieces of paper. Of the jobs which are female-dominated, there are still some that will be around. We're still going to need waitresses, we're still going to need nurses, we're still going to need booth babes, we're still going to need dancers, and by that I mean topless dancers and ballet dancers. But think about all the jobs, all of the quote-unquote careers, they're not really careers, that are dominated by women that will completely cease to exist. The HR cunts, social workers, government employees, nonprofits, public school teachers. In an anarcho-capitalist paradise, the unemployment rate for women will be astronomical because most women, and I've talked about this before, this is where I said that the collapse of the state will lead to women becoming attractive again. Because when all of these women no longer have these quote-unquote jobs where they get paid money to do nothing, they will have two choices. They will either have to get a job where they actually create value for other people, which most women are just not capable of doing, or they will have to become attractive enough that a man will voluntarily give them resources. And what we see here again, back to natural selection, in an anarcho-capitalist paradise, a woman will either have to be competent or attractive. And if you're not competent or attractive, your DNA will not get passed on, and there'll be a little more chlorine in the gene pool, and everybody say, fuck yes, for natural selection.